This is FNX.
Listen to Shoot the Defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defense on FNX. I'm your host, Del, and I have two co-hosts with me this evening. First of all, it's Double D from the D&D Footy Factory. How you doing, mate?
What's going on, Double D? How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been a while since we last spoke.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And
I don't think
Liverpool
since we last spoke either.
Well, I'm not going to get you on again then. Great stuff. My second guest is none other than former Wimbledon and Jamaica international Marcus Gale. Marcus, welcome back, mate. How you doing?
Good evening, Stel and D. I hope everyone's doing well. Looking forward to a good show again.
Yeah, yeah. Great to have you on, mate. Tell me about your trip to Nottingham today. What happened?
Kids, they got a good heart. They want to learn. They want to be more aware of certain things and develop as people as much as players, which is great. So we're on the right track. But it's a good day up there.
Excellent. I'll take it as an educational thing for Kick It Out, right?
Yeah, it's all educational stuff. We don't do any coaching or anything like that. It's just, you know, all the things that surrounds the modern day player. With social media, music, and a lot of other things, so all important for their development.
Absolutely, and long may it continue, my friend. You're doing a great job.
Why, thank you.
Right, actually, do you know what? While I'm on the subject of great jobs, let's talk about Napoli tonight while it's fresh in the memory. Sorry, Double. I know you're.
Thanks, Double.
Well, you know, I thought I was going to start with your club, get them out of the way. They lost 1-0 to Napoli tonight. Insigne scored in the 89th minute or the 90th minute, however which way you want to see it. Yeah. D, I know, obviously, you watched the game as a Liverpool fan. It wasn't the greatest performance. Liverpool were quite toothless. I think they only had 4 shots on goal, none on target. What's your evaluation on their performance?
Toothless, understatement. I think 1 or 2 changes. I was happy that Naby Keita started today, but obviously he came off injured. It's looking pretty bad. I'm hoping he's not going to be out for too long, but there wasn't really any creativity there. The Liverpool's best player was Fabinho, and he came on towards the end of the game, so I think that kind of tells you how flat the performance was.
Wow.
Alisson did very well in goal, made 1 or 2 good saves. Napoli hit the bar probably about 10 minutes, probably about 10, 15 minutes or so before they scored. Liverpool just flat. Salah couldn't really get it going. He was dropping deep. We all know because of his work rate, Firmino drops deep a lot. And they couldn't really get into the game. This just wasn't really a trick. There was kind of a nothing performance where you were hoping that they could hold out and get the draw, but this is group wide open now. This was one of the two group of deaths, I suppose, so it's playing out how they a lot of people expected. But yeah, not a great result going into playing City on the weekend by any means.
The thing is, it's quite funny how if Liverpool got away with a 0-0 draw, people would have said, yeah, they didn't play well, but they ground out a point, which is a great point. But I don't know, you said before the show that you're very concerned with the run of games that Liverpool are getting. I don't think they're cracking, are they?
They're not cracking, but Chelsea in the League Cup, they wasted chances. In the draw, and obviously got knocked out with that great Hazard goal, in the draw on the weekend of the league, they wasted chances, but they didn't create any. So that would be, and even just watching Klopp's post-match interview, he said that they deserve to win. He's usually an honest man, but he doesn't like quite as boldly say it like that. They deserve to win the game. Quite flat. And for one of his teams who are known for their attacking prowess, going back to the league titles at Dortmund and whatnot, that you don't really see too many performances like this. So that's worrying, because obviously if you're not going to play in the Football City, regardless of Liverpool being home or not, it's the game's only going to end one way, and they're bolstered by a late win in their Champions League game. That their game could have so easily been a draw. So polar opposites in terms of away trips for the two teams this week in Europe.
Marcus, before this game, Napoli had won 8 of their last 12 Champions League games at home in the group stage. Does this play any part of the psychology of an away team, or do you think Liverpool just went with the game plan and played by it?
It's probably a bit of both, really. If you're on a good run of form, you want to keep that going as long as possible, no matter who you're playing against. The team knows what they're doing week in, week out. The starting 11 are always fit, and they're going to keep the same side, more or less. And if Liverpool are just below their normal performances, their levels, now they could come unstuck. You know, we're expecting big performances again from Salah based on what he done last year, which was totally unbelievable. But it's going to be hard for him to live up to that. And if he gets, say, like 20 goals this year, I think that's still a massive success for him, personally. But, you know, the team has to, you know, just to gel correctly in Europe and get back on track. You've alluded to Firmino coming on and livening up the game, and you think, hold up, so who was in the side before him that was supposed to be doing that but didn't do it? And that can be sometimes a bit of a worry, but they've got the squad to do it. It's good that Sturridge is back in fitness and some good form as well, so he'll be like a new signing for him this year, you know, coming back from injury, all that long-term injuries that he's had. So, big player for them to come.
That's right. I mean, the thing that impressed me most about Napoli is the way that they pinned back Salah and Firmino, and especially Mane. They were so deep, it was unbelievable when they were collecting the ball. And obviously, if you're keeping them away from goal, then they've got no chance of scoring. And Napoli did that very, very well.
And it's what pretty, obviously, they tried to pick the ball up and go forward from the halfway line, but they had them with their backs to goal on the halfway line as well, which means there was no space for them to attack. And we know how effectively Liverpool can be when they've the players can run in behind and they've got space to attack. So it was a good performance by Ancelotti by Ancelotti's men, because people have written them off already because they took the lead and got beaten well by Juventus on the weekend, and they've dropped some silly points so far this season. But yeah, the group's wide open now, man. It's wide open. Liverpool has to make sure, on paper it seems like they will, but they have to make sure they win home and away against Red Star, otherwise they could have extreme difficulty qualifying from this group now.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, we knew that Paris Saint-Germain weren't going to slide down, were they? They lost the first game. They bounced back in absolutely immense fashion, winning 6-1 today. Well, there you go. But listen, the way that Liverpool play, wouldn't be surprised if they get a similar result, to be fair, against Red Star. But, you know... Fair enough. Well, Liverpool weren't the only English team that lost tonight. Spurs lost 4-2 at home, or should I say at Wembley, against Barcelona. Lionel Messi stole the show. He was going to get all the headlines, but I can't help but think that Spurs might have got something out of it if Hugo Lloris hadn't acted drunk. I don't know whether he had a few bevvies before the game, to be fair. The first goal where he came running out of his box was suicidal. And
he did it again second half, but luckily for him, they didn't score again. Wild goalkeeping.
It's bizarre because he's got a habit of doing that every now and again, hasn't he? He's a quality goalkeeper, but he loses his head sometimes. I don't know if it's a French goalkeeper thing, because I know Barthez was like that, Lamar was like that. French goalkeepers lose their heads, you know. I don't know.
I think he gets bored.
There you go. Marcus.
He could have been that bored after 6 or 7 minutes, because, you know, the team did not need that start. Tottenham need to stay solid. They know they're going to be up against it anyway. But when your keeper makes like a fundamental error like that, come running out as if he was playing right wing back or something, hold up, there's something. There's something in the water around there.
And it's Tottenham, it's at Wembley at the moment, so something ain't quite right. But you've gifted, arguably, one of the best teams in the world that we've seen in years. You know, you gifted them that first goal, which set the mood, really.
Well, the thing is, Coutinho still had a lot to do, didn't he? Because he had about four or five players in front of him. And to get the ball...
Yeah, but don't forget, those players in front of him, they can't use their hands because the goalkeeper's near the lights on our side of the viewing, you know what I mean? So, he still had a bit of work to do, but, as I said, you got no one that can go and dive anymore, you've got people that can slide in, but you can't give these players that sort of space and time because they'll pick your nose if you're not looking at them too properly, you know? So, they're talented guys.
True. Double, I know that obviously Coutinho left Liverpool. I don't think you guys miss him that much, to be fair. But let's be honest, that assist for Rakitic's goal was superb, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, to keep the ball in, that was because I thought that it'd gone out. I thought the attack was over, but that type of industry there, that can provide the difference sometimes. But the volley from Rakitic was, as soon as he hit it, you knew it was in, the technique on that. But even before that, the ball that Messi played, in fact, the ball that Messi played for both the first two goals beforehand, just sublime. He just sees the pitch differently to everyone else. But yeah, but yeah, Coutinho did well, pulled that back, great hit by Rakitic. But yeah, I actually thought Spurs were going to win this just for the fact that I thought that Real Madrid would destroy them at Wembley last year and Spurs beat them, so I thought they might be able to do it again. But there's just something not right. As Marcus said, something in the water. Like, we rate Poch's teams on how good they are defensively and organised, but this season, I don't know what's going on with them. Even we beat them 2-1 at Wembley a couple of weeks ago, we should have got 6 or 7. It was just bad finishing. Like, they're all over the place at the moment. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
I think that they've been known for their pressing game. Like, when they haven't got the ball, they press really fast and work mistakes from the opposition and get the ball back and look to score. But I think they're still probably a bit jaded from the World Cup, and they haven't had that required rest period that they need to get that freshness back, because we're not seeing that intensity, that high intensity press that they normally are associated with. And especially tonight against Barcelona, you can't go and press them like you did a year ago or so, because they're so good, they'll pass around you and make it even harder for you to get yep. Your second win. So whether they just sat off a little bit too much and gave Barcelona the extra space, it's debatable, but to me, they're still not at that sort of optimal level that we're associated with the normal Pochettino Tottenham side.
Mm.
That's a good point you said about the World Cup, because they weren't they the team, were they first or second with the amount of players that they had go to the World Cup?
In the semi-finals, like, yeah.
In terms of that, the amount throughout the squad. So, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because they've not had any sort of pre-season games to actually play in. So they've had physical rest, a bit of training, but no game time to sharpen and get in tune with the rest of the squad that have been playing the matches. So that in itself is hard to try and reclaim, because you don't get that time back. You won't get pre-season back this season. If it ain't right, that's your foundation of the season gone, because you just can't get it back. You can't get this pre-season fitness in November or December, because by then the season's over, it's done, you're finished.
That's right. And Marcus, listen, we're going to talk about Lionel Messi in just a moment, but how difficult was that strike from Rakitic? It's almost as if both of his feet were off the ground when he hit the ball.
I remember years ago I seen Cantona do that for Man United against Liverpool at Wembley. I think it was about 95. That's probably when you guys was about 5 years old then times.
Thanks, Marcus.
But I remember it. And it was a strike that was quite high up. Like, I don't know how he opened up his hip on that day, but Rakitic's strike, it kind of reminded me of that technique that Cantona used all those years ago. And he just kept his eye on the ball, and he just made the strike look so easy, as if he was dreaming about it, and he just hit it, and here it is. And the celebration wasn't of great shock or anything. He was like, yeah, well, this is normal, this is what I and it was just casual, and it's just like, that's how these guys do it, it's light work, isn't it? So beautiful strike.
Yeah. And what about Messi? Because he dropped deeper than he normally plays. I've noticed that since he's come back from international duty at the World Cup, as you mentioned, he's dropped much deeper. So I don't know whether it's because maybe he's lost a little bit of pace, or maybe he's getting on a little bit. I don't know, but it just seems that he trusts Suarez enough to do his own bits up front on his own, if that makes sense. So, you know, seeing him dropping deep and controlling the game from the midfield, he looked like the Messi that we saw before. Mind you, he hasn't really changed, has he? He just looks like the Messi that we remember.
But I think when you get to 30 and around that sort of age, your body does physically change.
Yeah.
You have to adapt. You're not going to do the things at 30 that you've done at 18, 19, 20. And especially footballers. So that's just in normal life. You ain't going to do the same things. But with Messi, he's still got so much in the locker that you still have to focus on him, because he's still got the turn of speed to drop a shoulder and get past players. His passing has become one of the main assets that he's got now, because he doesn't give the ball away.
Yep.
You never get it off of him or anything like that. So he's just adapting his game. A bit like how Ronaldo's adapted his game, where he doesn't do those surging box-to-box runs because he's 19, 20 again. He's 33, so now he's using all his energy to go and just get goals in and around the box.
Yeah.
Adapted, and Messi's doing that, but with him, we'll see him drop further back into midfield. He'll be in that three-man midfield, like an Iniesta or a Xavi type.
Yeah,
a couple
definitely.
More years, and it wouldn't be out of place for him, because he's got so much about him.
Yeah, his performance today reminded me, because I had Liverpool on the TV. I had stopped the bed Barcelona up on the lap. So
rich, but... Well, you're rich, aren't you?
not even.
I was struggling just on the one screen.
not even, but he played in when they beat Juventus in the 2015 Champions League final. That was kind of the role that he took on. He played quite deep and just dictated the tempo of the game and just threaded passes and let Neymar and Suarez do the running up top and the movement. And as you said, he'll settle and as he gets older, and he'll just sit in that midfield and won't look out of place, because you won't be able to tackle him. He will turn players inside out and then the passing and whatnot. This is why he's a lot of people's greatest of all time. It's not just the ridiculous amount of goals that he accumulates, it's the passing, it's the way he reads the game, the way that he can dictate tempo and bring other players into the game, make others around him better.
It causes psychological terror as well for the opposition, because they know he's got so much in him. He could be having a quiet moment in the game, but you dare not take your eye off him, because someone's always got to be watching out for him. You won't just leave him unattended, no matter where he is. He could be playing in goal and you'd still be fretting about him if he was in the defence, because he's got so much. But I just wanted to add, the player for me tonight, never seen him play before, was the number 8.
Arthur.
Oh, man, what a baller that is, because... He's smaller than Messi, and he was running the show in midfield. He just kept popping it, moving it. You couldn't get the ball off him. He had two players on him at one stage, and he just dissected them like, what are you trying to do? Don't you know who I am? I think he just announced himself. He's probably announced himself anyway, but that was my first viewing of him. I thought, wow.
Yeah,
talking about replacing Iniesta and Xavi and these type of players, but Barcelona have got, you know, someone else in the pipeline that's coming through. Performing
that
he did tonight.
Yeah. And it's very funny how, you know, we're talking about how Napoli pinned Liverpool's front three back. It's almost as if Barca's fullbacks did the same to Spurs' wing backs. You know, Trippier and Davis, they didn't really get a sniff today. And again, Barca's fullbacks were fantastic.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of legs. We naturally have legs. Is it Semedo on the right and Alba on the left? Naturally, look, when you're playing against Barca, you know they're going to have the lion's share of the ball. And you know you've got players you have to watch out for. The front three alone, it's going to take four or five of you to go and stop them three on any given day. So that alone is going to pin you back and stop you bombing forward if you're Trippier and such. So it does make a massive difference when you've got players that can make the ball stick, you can breathe and get yourself up the wing or whatever it is. And cause a bit of damage, but Barcelona, you can't take it off any one of their players, because they're all that good. they show tonight. They've got a great understanding. When you see the couple of the dummies that Suarez done, Messi, just to run on, it's like, you know, they could do that with their eyes closed and they know exactly where each other's supposed to be. And you can see the difference between them and Tottenham tonight. It just wasn't on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
like if you can get the ball into Kane, get some runners around him, blah, blah, blah. But that's all based on Kane. But when you look at Barcelona, it's like a blueprint for the whole squad to, like,
they can hurt you, and
anyone can hurt you in that team, which is great.
That's right, and unfortunately Spurs are now bottom of the group because Inter got a good win at PSV. I know that you're an Inter boy just like me, mate. Look, they were lucky, Inter, because Handanovic probably should have gone for a handball outside the box. But, you know, again, it shows Inter's character because they started the season pretty slow. But, you know, they're coming into their own now. You know, Icardi's doing well, scoring. Nangalan scored today. So, yeah, it'll be quite interesting to see how this group pans out. But the other group that interests me a lot is Group A, which is Atletico and Dortmund, because both of them top of the league. Dortmund absolutely trounced Monaco today. Sancho having the game of his life again. He's been superb, hasn't he?
Sancho is unreal. Like, I know he's only 18, but I think they need to get some of that creativity because he's an assist king. I mean, who needs Dembele the way that he's playing for Dortmund? England need to get him in the squad ASAP. If you're young enough, you're good enough, as they say, because the way that, just to bring something different to the blood.
I think that the England squad, it does need an injection of competition because I feel that senior squad's too comfortable.
Of course.
Players know that they're going to just, if they're fit, they're going to play, they're going to be in there. And I think you need an injection of the young bloods like Sancho and Foden.
Yeah.
Even Madison at Leicester now.
He could
go in there and put Dele under a lot of pressure to say, hey, this is how the 10 roll's supposed to go, you know. I can shoot, I can pick passes, I can create trouble. I'm not just a hype. You need that sort of hunger. Sancho's one of those that he needs that sort of breakthrough this year in that senior squad.
Yeah, definitely. Madison could take free kicks as well. Like, yeah, get some of those youngsters in there, man. But because as you said, players are comfortable. Some people are not performing. Like Welbeck, he's got a couple of goals now for Arsenal, but he was barely playing and gets into the squad when you've got people scoring goals and doing other bits that aren't playing. And obviously they're in this tug of war to get Declan Rice, aren't they? Trying to prize him away from Ireland. The more I watch him, the more I'm starting to like him because I was thinking, what's the hype about? But yeah, get some of the young blood in there and just give them something different. Unpredictability.
Well, that's what you need because I think that's what England were at the World Cup. They were quite predictable. We knew what system they were going to play, but Sancho will give them something a lot different to what they're used to. And I think he's the most naturally, technically gifted player that they've got at that age, so to speak. I know Lallana's very good on the ball, don't get me wrong. I think, you know, he's a superb footballer, but he's very inconsistent. He's not fit enough, to be fair. But Sancho will give him something different. And, you know, it's always good to have new blood because you've got new ideas and new ways of playing different systems, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go. Right.
I'm sure he'll make the step up this season. I think if he carries on progressing it, as he is, I think he's ever so young. He's only just 18. And he's, you know, he's backed his own ability to go abroad and move away from Pep. It shows you his character, his strength of character. And he believes in himself so much that he needs to play now. Instead of sitting in that Man City and just getting the odd minute here, there and anywhere. But he knows that Dortmund, he's going to make a good contribution. And he's already showing that in the short time he's been there. So fair play to him, and you know, as I said, Dortmund they're sitting on top of that table, they're cruising at the moment with 6 points. If they can't qualify from this position, then something's going to go wrong. But I can't see much going wrong with them at this stage.
That's right. Well, look, you mentioned Pep, and he said David Silva is one of the best players he's ever trained in his life. After Man City beat Hoffenheim 2-1, it was a that was a bit of a scrappy win there for City. They got a couple of goals because of defensive mistakes by Hoffenheim, who aren't really renowned for that double. I'm quite surprised that they were very, I don't know, sloppy defensively.
Yeah, it's, I think he started off the season and he tried to, I think, lay a marker down and say it's going to be Laporte and it's going to be Stones, the younger Bucks, and let them do their thing. But I think he's realised with some of the individual errors that have crept into the game that though they've won and been convincing, they had got quite a few chances, had quite a few chances against them when they drew 1-1. Though they beat Newcastle 2-1 in the end, they were really cut open on Newcastle's goal. So he's obviously slotted Otamendi in, company obviously played yesterday, but they went behind Hoffenheim, because this has the players they've lost on no marks. I watched them in the first game against Shakhtar and they looked really good, and it was only Ismaili pulling strings for Shakhtar that meant they couldn't get the win there. But when you consider that they've lost Rudy, Sule, Ufa's gone to Schalke, the players that they've lost, they're really, that Nagelsmann's really kept them competitive and some really having problems. I didn't think they were going to get the win, but as you said, the defensive error, Silver's Industries hustled on the board and got the winner, and they needed that, because I don't know if or not they would have gone on to qualify. I thought they were going to be aided by Shakhtar beating Lyon, but then Lyon came back and got a point. But it's not quite. I think David Silva is arguably the best player in the league, him or De Bruyne. But you'll see it without KDB there. I don't know what it is. Maybe because Silva's unlikely to shoot as much, etc. Or sometimes how deep that he drops, even though De Bruyne does it as well. But you'll see it that they're just not quite the same machine with him in there, especially with the fact that defence are giving away one or two more opportunities than they did last season.
That's right.
I agree with that. I think Silva is one of the, you know, the best players around, and Pep saying one of the best he's ever trained, that goes to show how good he is, because he's been at all the top clubs. But, you know, showing that with age, you can improve, you can get better if you've got the right coach around you as well.
Yeah.
He's probably got a lease of life under Pep, and Pep's dragging every last sinew out of him and getting the performances that he's getting from him. That's a massive compliment for Pep as well, if he can do that for someone, you know, 30, 31, 32.
And the thing is, when you look at someone like Leroy Sané, who, you know, was out in the wilderness at the beginning of the season for whatever reason, he's come in.
He was brilliant yesterday.
Exactly, he's been superb since he's come back in the team. And it goes back down to mentality, I guess, and attitude. And I think maybe some players, some senior players, have put their arm around him and say, right, listen, you're at this club. I'm not going to say big club, because I refuse to say Man City are a big club. but yeah, I'm going to get pelters for that, but it's okay, it doesn't matter. But, you know, he's come in, he supplied the first goal for Aguero, another player who's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, there's a great stat with Aguero regards to German teams. Where is it? I saw it a second ago. He scored the most Champions League goals against German teams than any other nation in the competition. He scored 8 goals against German teams. So when he comes up against the Germans, he does it against them. But yeah, back to Sané, he's a fantastic footballer. And, you know, I just think he's kind of realised where he's at and realised that he's got a superb head coach. He's got all the foundations there to be one of the best players in the world. So he just needs to get his attitude right, and he's knuckled down.
I think he's got the best coach to get it out of him as well. Like, Pep is he's a developer as well as a winning manager.
Exactly.
And I think that's the key thing between him and the other side of Manchester, your side still. where you can see the effect of the lack of man management and the effect it's having, not just on one player, but a whole squad of players. When you compare that to Pep, he unites people. You know, it's the staff, the support team, the fans, yet most importantly, the players, because they're the ones that give him those trophies. They perform for him, first and foremost, and they go and, you know, excite everybody that supports the club and loves football in general. But for Sané to start re-emerging, as I said, he's probably got the best head coach in the world to help him get through, you know, the disappointments of not making that World Cup squad, which was a bit of a shock, but he'll bounce back. He'll be a tougher player for it mentally. He's already a physical specimen, great player to watch, but mentally he'll be more advanced with Pep.
Definitely, differently, and he's bounced back well because, as you said, didn't make the German squad. Then was in the next squad and left it for the Nations Cup games. Then he was getting criticised by Tony Cruz as well and some other players about his mentality and his body language says that he won't be decent. Just, it seems that everyone was picking on him, but it seems, as you said, it's making him stronger mentally, and that is just going to just make him, just, if he's not unstoppable already, it's just going to make him an unstoppable force because he's so direct. When he dribbles, he's hard to shift, as you said, the physical ability, he's got that wiry strength. If he can get better at using his right foot, then goodness me, like, goodness knows to think what he's going to become.
He's a throwback to that position as well, because normally left wingers now are right footed, and right wingers are left footed.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's just a traditional left winger, left footed. He can whip that ball in, he can beat people on the outside as you would expect if he can improve the right foot. And here's me talking as an ex-left winger as well, that didn't really use the right foot. Maybe just driving and kicking the cat, or stepping on the cat, shouldn't say, you know, violent things about animals. But, you know, if he can improve that right foot, what a better that's going to be.
That's right.
His left foot's still not better than yours, Marcus.
His left foot's all right, you know.
Mine still works.
I played Power League last weekend, but it still works, you know.
I still remember you banging a bit off the bar for Wimbledon, mate.
I'm telling you, it's still in order.
Dee, tell me about Nagelsmann, because I know he's the youngest boss in the competition's history at 31 years old. To be fair, he's got quite a lot of young players, you know, Posch, Hoogmar. Obviously, they made those errors which led to both.
Who's this guy? Is it Grilich or whatever you pronounce it? He's sick. I've never heard of him until like a few weeks ago. I don't know where that. It's like Germany, you've got a factory. Getting these guys out, and Leandro Bittencourt's appeared again. I haven't seen him for like the last 18 months to 2 years. But no, Hoffenheim are decent, but you just know that if Niko Kovac does anything wrong at Bayern Munich, you know what's going to happen, man. But they'll come and see it. But yeah, Nagelsmann, I thought Arsenal were going to get it before they got Emery, because I know how much the board they've pieced together now have got the links and ties in Germany. But no, he's a really good manager, man.
And that Grealish you're talking about, they signed him from Werder Bremen, I believe. He's actually Austrian.
Oh, he's Austrian, yeah. Look at that.
There you go. Don't get them mixed up.
Was he a devil?
What's that?
I'm going to have to get the old YouTube
out. Yeah, he's Austrian, yeah. They signed him for like 3 million or something like that. But. Marcus, you said the word disappointment earlier, and the first thing that came to mind was United.
What can you say?
What?
Can't say too much. But
well, there isn't much to say about the game, is there? Really? Let's be honest. Apart from,
you don't have to do this, though. You don't have to. We're not pressuring
you. No, what? Look, I could tell you that.
Go down this avenue. You can switch it up.
The thing is, I wouldn't know where to begin, because I can talk about Valencia's inability to defend. I could talk about Eric Bailly's attempt to shoot from 40 yards. I could talk about Rashford's corners. I could talk about Lukaku that doesn't know how to run into space. I could talk about. There's so much I could talk about, but I want to know what you.
Apart from that, you're absolutely fine with the performance.
Yeah, I think the less said about the performance, the better, to be fair. Do you know what? The funny thing is, apart from City, who won, we're the only English team that did pretty well in the Champions League this season.
Yeah, very true, very true. But everyone gets
bizarre.
Valencia have been indifferent to start the season, but Guedes looked lively, and there was one time where United pushed up so high, I think Kondogbia found it, but he kind of trod on the ball, and then United were able to get people back. Like, United, the gaps they're leaving, it's just going to show you how well De Gea has done in the last 2 years to keep the amount of goals that they can see down, because the gaps are just at the back. It's horrendous.
It's like Moses is there, and he's part of the Red Sea, isn't he?
it's definitely not a happy camp.
It isn't.
The players are the ones that are showing it at the moment. You can't hide the unhappiness, even though they are trying to hide it, but you can't hide what's going on.
the manager's mood is, you know, it's become a regular thing over the last few years anyway, but it's more highlighted at Man United because it's one of the biggest clubs in the world. It's got such a massive following and profile. Everything's magnified 10 times more than anywhere else he's been. Probably, well, maybe Real Madrid will equal it. But, yeah, there's something not quite right. It wouldn't have happened under Sir Alex Ferguson's reign, like the sort of behaviour of the players. I was trying to imagine earlier on today if Sir Alex was in charge of today's current crop.
Well, Pogba would have been signed for a start.
What would be happening? There wouldn't be all this song and dance stuff, and it would be just stick to football. That's what you're paid for. Do all of that when you're retired and blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, I mean, you've got the Premier League under wraps for many, many years and all this sort of stuff. But this is the way the modern game is now. Everyone's just branding themselves. Pogba is his own brand. He is that powerful. I think at times he appears that he's bothered. I think he is. Not bothered, but he definitely does care. But he cares in his own way. He's got his own culture and shows how he cares in his own special way. And it might not be to the liking of, you know, the fans at times and the football pundits particularly, for a lack of understanding. But when Mourinho's going for the big dog in there, it's going to affect all the other ones around him. And if they can see the big dog's not happy, it's going to affect those players around him. Like Lingard. Lingard's one of his best mates. It's going to affect his performance. So the best thing I would suggest for that club there is Mourinho. Try and lighten the mood, get the players back on side, get them playing for Man United first and foremost, and then yourself, because Man United's going to be around a lot longer than Mourinho or Pogba or anybody else in that squad, so you've got to get the players playing back for the club.
Well, how's he going to do that? Because it seems to me that he's lost a lot of that dressing room.
He has. It does appear it. I can see it happening. It depends on the pressure from the fans to the board, which is the usual sort of progress. If they start booing and all this sort of stuff, I'm not suggesting they go and do that to get him out, but that's the normal procedure. Fans show their disgust. They could vote with their feet and not turn up. And if the clubs see all that, they'll be forced to make a change. But they've got to pull it around. The only way you can do it, hard graft, put smiles back on people's faces. Go and score goals that you're supposed to score. Defend that you're supposed to defend. Be the Man United that everyone, you know, from probably the 90s onwards loved. But at the moment, we're not quite seeing it.
Double, I remember speaking to you about Jose Mourinho a while back, and I said I don't think he will last till probably December. He'll probably be going then. I've got a sneaky suspicion that anything other than a win against Newcastle and he's out the door.
It's looking like it possible. If he will Pogba, someone's going to go. When he took off Pogba on Saturday after the West Ham defeat, they didn't even look at each other. And funnily enough, Rashford scored straight away. So it was looking momentarily until Arnautovic's goal, like it was going to be a Jose masterclass. But it's not looking. Even yesterday, what made me laugh, guys, in the post-match interview was that he said United don't have the players to play it out from the back. And I thought, your teams have never played it out from the back, Jose. You're starting to talk. I think you're losing it, mate. I think you might need some psychiatric help. I'm not sure. Like the stuff that he's actually just making things up now in the press conference, because he knows that the papers are going to concentrate on that and then look at the result rather than immediately going for the result. But something has to give. As Marcus has said, you've gone for the top dog in Pogba. Nobody at the club dislikes Pogba. You saw during the World Cup, though he wasn't the captain, it was him doing the motivational speeches for the French team and that. Yeah. And it's just so complex now. But what one thing I must say, especially about the United fans that I know, as well, and with them being mainly from London, only a few of them go to the games, is that because they were so spoiled when they were younger with winning so much under Ferguson, all they want now, they're not really as bothered about the fact that they're not top of the league at the moment. They want to be entertained, and they're not even getting that. They're not even getting effort. That's one thing Ferguson teams always had, whether it be a Darren Fletcher or a Phil Neville, players that weren't that good, you always got 100% effort. And some of the those players on that pitch don't look bothered at the moment. They weren't pressing yesterday. They certainly weren't pressing against West Ham. Like, that third goal that Arnautovic scored on Saturday was an absolute joke. He walked back from an offside position. No one looked at him, and he put his hands up to Noble to pass it. And Noble took an eternity to pass it, and there were still no United players there. Mm. It's like, I really don't know what's going on with him. But yes, yeah, something has to give, someone has to go, because it's a toxic thing that's spread through the club. And I'm annoyed we don't play them next week, because they're there for the taking at the moment. He doesn't have the best formation. Sanchez isn't working. He doesn't know his best centre-half partnership. De Gea's not started off the season as well as he has. And they just, I don't know how they're going to win the game at the moment. If they, as you said, they can't beat Newcastle, who barely score goals and have not won the game this season, then something dramatic is going to happen within the next week.
Yeah,
it won't be Pogba. I'm telling you that. It's not going to be the big dog on the pitch. Because if you start doing that, clubs are going to be very, very, very scared about who they sign. The only person that's going to be moving on, if it does move on, is going to be the manager. Nine times out of ten, it's always a manager. Can you ever name a manager and a player confrontation where the player gets sacked? It's never happened. Do you get a situation where a player might be just dropped or sidelined or banished? It doesn't really happen that much anymore, because they've got too much money and power behind them now. Yeah, players have the power. Managers will always come and go and get sacked. That's just fact. Players will, you know, it's far more expensive to get rid of a player than a manager, but we are talking about one of the highest paid managers in the world as well, so
yeah,
they're in a lose-lose situation, Man United. But I hope that they both can just settle it down, because if Mourinho gets everybody back on point with Pogba, he can lead that team, because he's got the respect of the players anyway. He's got that respect.
Yeah,
that's something that Mourinho has lost over the last, couple months.
Well, see, this is the thing. From what I've heard, a lot of players are on Pogba's side, and cliques have been developed in the club, and you know, it's obviously had an effect. The thing is, when I look at United's performance, especially second half, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people made out. We had a couple of chances. We were on the front foot a lot of the time. Fair enough, you know, we did give Valencia too much time on the ball, and you know, they got in behind us a few times. And you know, Batshuayi, perhaps if he was less of a social media cheerleader than the striker, he probably would have buried his chance. But that being said, you know, someone like Romelu Lukaku, his confidence for me, he just seems shot. You know, Rashford, his corners, I don't even know why he was on corner duty, to be fair. They were dreadful. And, you know, they stifled us, Valencia, to their credit. But the thing is, we were there for the taking, as you said, you know. But, look, at the end of the day, I agree with you guys in the sense that there's only one outcome, and it's going to be the manager to go. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'd be gutted, because when Jose Mourinho came in, I thought, you know what, we've got a winner here. But it's almost as if being at United has actually destroyed him. He's not the same person. And whether it be for personal reasons, whether it be because, as I said on the Monday show, you know, his dad died last year, maybe he's still reading from that. But then again, Pogba's
dad died living in the hotel.
Yeah.
With the family.
But then again, Pogba's dad died just before the Europa League final.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we can't really use that as much as an excuse. People react to things different, I guess, but I don't know, he just doesn't seem like the same guy. I think he's a broken man. He realised, personally, I think that he didn't realise how big the job was until we actually stepped foot in the training ground and saw the crap that he has to work with. But anyway, that's by the by. We've got Juventus home and away. I really can't see us getting anything out of that, especially with Ronaldo back and Dybala in top form.
In top form, yeah. I thought it was interesting, your point about how you don't want Jose to go, but if he was to go, that Conte is only the really available manager that could sort things out.
Yeah, I think so. To be fair, I know people said to me, oh yeah, but you know, he lost the Chelsea dressing room. I was like, yeah, but what you got to understand is that he had a team that is known for downing tools, whereas at Juventus, he knew how to coach Pogba. He knew how to deal with big personalities. The only problem with getting Antonio Conte is he throws his toys out of the pram. And yeah. I don't know if Ed Woodward can afford to appoint another manager that can destroy him. Because don't get me wrong, Van Gaal can really throw him under the bus. Mourinho sure as hell can throw him under the bus. Does he want a third manager to come in and get another non-disclosure agreement signed? I don't know. So who comes in? Who comes in to replace Jose Mourinho if he goes? It's baffling. It really is. Yeah, I don't think he wants the job. I don't think he wants it.
You don't think Zidane would want that job?
Nah, I think he's got an unblemished record. If he comes to United, he's going to mess it up.
Yeah. Nah, I think he's got enough about him. You look at the clubs he's played for, he's gone everywhere and won something. He's made a massive statement in his playing career. And then, yeah, he's a young manager, but, you know, he's a bit like Pep. You know, he's coming from nowhere, really. Done the B-side, been given an opportunity to do the first team, and, wow, just took to it like a duck to water.
Yeah.
I don't think the Man United job would faze him one bit in terms of stature. I think he's won 3 Champions League. Not even Jose can come talk that sort of levels, you know what I mean? And at the dinner table, Zidane will just trump him every time, say, hold up, you've been doing this a lot longer than me, and bam, here's my friend. What are you doing? You know what I mean? And I think he's got that connection with younger players as well, that he will try and nurture them, something that they need. The Man United players need it. You look at Martial, you look at Rashford, you look at Pogba, they're all miserable young people when you see them play. And it's like, they didn't get into the game to play miserable. They love the game of football.
Yeah.
At the moment, you can't look on their face and say, they love the football. To them, it's just a job now.
Mm.
And that's a scary face to look at when you've got players earning good money and it's just their job. Whereas when you're playing, it should be just, you know what, I don't even work. I'm just getting paid for something I love doing.
Yeah.
And those players need to reclaim that love somehow with someone else. Otherwise, the longer this goes, it's just going to destroy them.
Mm. The thing is, Mark, is if Zidane does come in, then the excuses are over for these players. They can't hide behind this whole, oh, we play negative football, oh, with a manager that's very, you know, that is quick to throw us under the bus and whatnot. There's no excuses. They grew up watching Zinedine Zidane. He's won, as you said, World Cups. He's won Champions Leagues as a player and a manager. The excuses are over if he does come in. Martial has to step up, Pogba, Rashford, Lukaku,
well, that's what
all of them.
The players want that. They want that opportunity to be challenged like that. They want to fall in love with the game again and play for someone that loves the game massively. They want that. They want that sort of maverick feel at Man United. It's always had that sort of maverick at the club, whether it's the manager or the players.
Yeah,
it's always had that. At the moment, they ain't got that. They've got Mourinho, but he's miserable. He's not the maverick Mourinho. He's the miserable one.
Mm.
But that's the thing, though, Marcus. And still, what has happened? Because when he was at Chelsea. Jose, like SCN said, Jose was his white daddy. SCN threw him out to Ghana, etc., to come see the village where he came from. And that Jose had the relationship with Cech. He told Cech he was the best keeper in the world. Told John Terry he was the best defender. Lampard best midfielder. Drogba best striker. And his man management, especially Inter as well, the likes of Schneider, these players were dying for him. That it all seems to go out the window now. The things that made him great. That's what I'm saying. He's a broken man now, basically. He's gone away from the things that make him great. And to add to that, football has slightly evolved since he's more, not even just to call it negative, but just his tactical nature. Football has evolved from that, from when he won his treble with Inter, even though that was only in 2010, for instance. And he's not adapted to it. And add to that, his personality in terms of what made him a great manager has changed. I just don't know. I don't know if he can win the Champions League again.
Well, see,
I think it's going to be difficult for him. It's going to be very difficult. As you said, the game changes every year. And if you're concreted into one style of how you manage, you're going to be caught short because the players change, the society changes as well. As you can see, there's so much players on social media. I don't know how they focus on playing games at times. they're on social media more than what they're doing on the pitch. And that's another life-changing thing to deal with. So Mourinho's probably not too into all of that. He's like, no, that's for the youngsters. But that's how they interact. But people like Pogba, he interacts with fans, he connects to people. He needs the connection he really needs is him and his manager right now. And if he can, if they can get that spark and that connection back, Man United will start flying again, because Pogba can stitch the rest of that squad together. He'll get Martial smiling. It was hard for him to smile anyway, even though he signed that big contract with United all them years ago. I don't think the kid smiles anyway. He just got one of those set faces and it's just like, cha. Look where I ended up. Yeah, he'll have a positive effect on those players. And that's why I said the biggest connection Pogba needs is the one with the manager. And Mourinho needs Pogba more than anybody at the moment. Because if he can win him back on side, the whole team will start kicking because of the effect.
Well, I don't know. I think it's irreparable, to be honest. They've gone back and forth. Pogba's said his things on social media. Jose Mourinho's been very public in his criticism of players and whatnot. So I think, you know, there's only one way this is going to end, and it's not going to be Pogba leaving United. If he does, it'll probably be after Jose Mourinho goes. But anyway, that's by the by. On a final note, CSKA Moscow beat Real Madrid. I don't know what happened there. I haven't got a clue what happened there.
Me neither.
I don't know whether it's just
where
because
was that?
it was in Russia, but and the thing is, Cesc actually kept the clean sheet. Akin 5 never keeps clean sheets. So
exactly. What's he got, like 2 years his whole career in playing for them in the Champions League?
Yeah.
Madrid, I think from one complacency to two, obviously Marcelo is out injured. There was no Bale, no Iztegol. Modric started the game on the bench. They had a left back from the academy who I've never heard of before, and it was just asking for a defeat, really. Russia is nowhere near as intimidating as it used to be when I was younger to go there, but it could have made things a bit more awkward for qualification, because they will still qualify, but top in the group, I'm not sure. Roma won well in the weekend, and they smashed apart Plzen yesterday with the Dzeko hat-trick. So, Madrid have just made things much harder for them. Obviously, still qualified, but it's much harder for themselves.
There you go. He has spoken. Great stuff. Well, gents, thank you ever so much for agreeing to come on the show. It's been a great fun. I thought we were going to do this for half an hour, but we almost went an hour, which is good.
More than what you bargained for,
innit? There you go. See? No, none of this buy one, get one free stuff. We just go in. Doesn't matter. D, tell us about your show again, mate. Because I haven't heard the recent ones. You've been going in at United again?
Partially, but on Saturday we were talking about the whole Ramsey Arsenal contract situation, because it baffles me the fact that they gave him the contract and they pulled it and then took the contract back. I don't know what's going on there, because he obviously wants to stay there, and Emery did say went to build the Arsenal team around him. So yeah, a bit of that, a bit of United, a bit of everything on Saturday. But the air and from your top show by us, like the D&D Football Factory, airs on topfm.net. That's 95.5 FM in London on a Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to midday. And if you can't catch that, then all the shows are up on my SoundCloud, which is DUBULDE, and that's also my Twitter handle, Instagram handle, everything.
Superb. And he didn't even need the script for that. That's how embedded in his mind it is. Marcus, do you have a massive social media presence like our friend here?
I can't follow that, really, you know. I can't even remember my name. I'm active on there, not as much as some people, but I need to say something if I want to say something, really. I'm not one of those, I've got to tell you what I'm doing, or when I'm picking my nails or cutting my toenails or anything like that. I'm not one of those sort of people.
Well,
if it's something important to share, I will share.
Well, but oddly enough, if you do decide to take photographs of your feet, you can make a lot of money on Instagram, to be fair, because from what I've heard, there are some strange people out there that pay for photographs of feet, apparently. So
listen, I've got traditional footballers' toes here, man. So,
I don't know what that looks like.
I need to keep my socks on at all times. I'm not scared people.
It's one of them sort of feet. You know what I mean? Those are the tools of my trade. You're scarred for life and you've got footballer's feet.
There you go. So if you want to follow Marcus Gale and not see his feet, he's on Twitter at Marcus11Gale.
I am not putting none of my body parts on Twitter, so let's clear that up, alright? Keep myself dignified at my age.
Yes.
If they want to follow on Marcus11Gale on Twitter, I do have an Instagram as well, Gale411. Which is quite interesting. I like a bit of Instagram as well. Instagram's quite interactive. Some good stuff on there. But I'll just put things out there to make people think. Not to cause argument or anything, but just to challenge thinking at times. That's about me.
There you go. And that's it from us, guys. We're on Twitter at Shoot Defence. Social media can be a very dangerous tool. Ask Romario's daughter. We're not going to go into that. So, yes, just be very careful what you post. And if you've got a phone and you've got some private stuff on it, either delete it or just make sure your phone is locked, because it might end up on the internet. And, just Google. Actually, don't Google anything to do with Romario's daughter. Anyway, that's
why
it from us.
Why are you going to say that at this time of night? Everyone's going to be doing it now.
Well, you know, by the time I edit it and upload it onto wherever it is, it'll be in the morning, so that'll be the first thing they Google, I guess. So,
the Man City fans are going to be coming from you now as well. The Man City ultras, what you said about them, they'll be in the club.
But they're not. But anyway, that's it from us. Good night, guys.